right that you've given us to have this church. God, help us not to take any of it for granted today. Help us to hear what you've given the preacher this morning as he speaks to us. Empower him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. Help us to hear what you have for us as the hearers today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave today, they would settle that in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
What do you say we start the new year by making sure our cell phone does not go off in the service, please? That means turn it off. Double check, make sure it is at least turned to vibrate, so if it does, it just rattles you and nobody else. We would appreciate that very much. How would you like it if this year, every decision you made was the right decision? How would you like it this year if every choice you made, it was the right choice? See, well, we just make our choices, Pastor, and then we'll see how it turns out. No. How would you like it if every decision, every choice, everything that you did this year not only was the right thing, but it turned out the way it was supposed to? Now, just a moment ago, Brother Evans read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to you. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to stay right in those two simple verses this morning. But the end of verse 6 is what I want you to notice. It says, "And he shall direct thy paths." The he is God. Now, I am not perfect and neither are you. I hate to bust your bubble this morning. But I'm not perfect and neither are you. But now listen very carefully. I know I can't make perfect decisions. I know I can't. We've all made choices. Over the holiday season, some of us made really bad choices. Something about fudge and cookies and candy and pie and cake and pizza looks good at 11 o'clock at night. And then, of course, there's always January the 2nd and Judgment Day. I've made choices and decisions that didn't turn out right. Now look at me, and I've made choices and decisions in my life and hoped that they would turn out right. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. That is not how you're supposed to live your life, and that's not how you have to live your life. The Bible says, "And he," that is God, "shall direct thy paths." Now listen very carefully. I cannot be perfect in decisions and choices, nor can you. I can't choose a path in life and know how it's going to turn out. I'm not certain. But then there is an omniscient God in heaven who already knows what every day of this next year holds. Not only for everybody, but for each one of us individually as well as collectively. Listen to me. He knows what 12:04 on January the 14th is for your life and where you'll be and what will be going on. He knows that. That's God. And we also know this, we know that God is perfect, all wise, all knowing, all powerful. And when the Bible says, "And he," God, "shall direct thy paths," it's giving me the opportunity for what we would call today some heavenly GPS in my life. The idea that you can hold in your hand a phone with an app on it or one of those things in your car, or a little box of some kind, and you dial in an address, and that shoots it to a satellite, and it goes back through a computer system and tells you exactly how to find something somewhere with somebody. That's incredible. It's amazing. But even that thing's not always right. Even the machine makes a mistake. But now God never does that. And the God who knows everything that we will face and every road of life and every path of life has told us that he would be willing to direct our paths. Now, how smart could we be, or how dumb, to take a consideration like that from just two simple verses in the Bible and totally blow that off and say, well, I'll figure it out for myself. Now, seriously, how wise is that? I'll just do what I do and I'll just hope for the best and see how it goes. Seriously, when you don't have to do that, that's the worst part of it all. It was bad enough in the days when you had to pull a map out and unfold it, and then you could never get the stupid thing folded up again. Unfold a map and then look at it and try to figure out where you were and what direction you were and where you were headed and where you were. It's one thing to have those days. It's another thing to have a GPS now that will tell you exactly where you're going, where you are, where you're going, and how to get there. And you can do it in any language that you want. The one we have has an Australian thing. And you punch that in there and it goes, g'day, mate, take a right turn. And it didn't even do it in an accent for you. It's unbelievable. How foolish would we be to know we could have the God of heaven direct every, and it's paths, plural, in verse 6, not path. God won't start you and let you go on the way and figure it out to the end. He'll direct every path. That means the big ones, the little ones, every direct. If he wants to change the path, he can change it. He knows where that's going to and this and there. And every path that your life will take in every era of your life, every age of your life, every category of your life, every situation in your life, he shall direct thy paths. Now that would be really smart to say, well, if I could have God directing the way that I'm going, how smart is this? And that's what this promise is. But as always with the promise of God, there are always premises, there's conditions. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, there's three things you do, and he does the fourth. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. Now the shall is conditional upon you doing the first three. It's kind of like exercise equipment, new year. People buy all this exercise equipment, treadmills, ellipticals, exercise ball, they get the weight system. Maybe they go and buy an exercise system of some kind, insanity, asylum. That's the one that comes after insanity. That's what it's called. And asylum is the next one. After you've gone insane on this one program, then you go to the asylum, which is where you belong anyway. Or you do one of the crazy diet things that are some new diet, always some new diet coming out. You know, you sniff Drano and you don't eat for 2 months and you lose 50 pounds. Well, of course you do. You starved yourself half to death and all that kind of stuff. You know what? The best equipment, exercise equipment in the world, it won't do you any good if you don't get on it. You would think if you spent $1,000 on exercise equipment, you could lose 5 pounds just walking past the thing. Doesn't work like that. You have to get on the equipment. Years ago, I bought one of those rowing machine things. Had it set it up in my little office in my garage. Got me some sweats, a sweatshirt, sweatpants, and everything else. I thought, I'm going to do the rowing machine. I got on that thing and cranked it up, got it going, rowed away. This was pre-digital days, so I couldn't tell you. It was just row. That was it. You couldn't tell you you're going 10 miles and didn't show you a video of you floating down the river. And, you know, the stuff they have now are really nice, except you have to keep getting off and going to the bathroom. But it was just an old rowing machine. And I got on the thing, and I was just rowing away, worked up a sweat, huffing, puffing, carrying on. Stopped, got down, and looked around. I thought, I hadn't moved an inch. I've been rowing for miles, and I'm nowhere. I haven't even left this office. Got off the machine, never used it again. We understand the practical application. God will direct your paths, but then if you don't, listen now, if you don't take the first three steps, he can't take the next one for you. It's like step one, step two, step three, and after that, he'll take your path. He'll direct your paths. So can we listen today, and can we not plug into some heavenly GPS so that this year we don't just make decisions and by the end of the year we go, oops, that was a mistake. You just threw a year away. You just set yourself on a path that changed your entire life for the bad, not the good. So what do we do? Heavenly GPS, number one step is trust in the Lord with all your heart. You say, well, that's my problem, Pastor Johnson. I have trust issues. No, that's not the problem. The problem is you've got misplaced trust issues. That's what the problem is. Everybody trusts something and someone. Everyone does. Trust is not the problem. That's never an issue with people. And when they say, well, I just don't trust anyone. Yes, you do. You do trust somebody and you do trust something. What's happened is we put We put our trust in others. We put our trust in people. We put our trust in man. We put our trust in individuals. We put our trust in institutions. We put our trust in truth or principles, philosophies, things that are taught. We put our trust in things, and then often those things fail us, and then we say, oh, I got a problem with trust. No, you don't. You have a problem with misplaced trust. You put your trust in the wrong things. You put your trust in the wrong person. And I'm not saying you shouldn't trust people. I mean, I like the old bumper sticker one of our men used to have on his truck. It said, trust everybody but brand all your calves. I thought, okay, now that, I get that principle. I understand what that means. It doesn't mean you can't trust anyone or that no one is ever trustworthy, but I don't care who they are, how reliable they are, how dependable they are, how faithful they are, how certain they are for you in life, there will come a time when they'll let you down. Yes? So he's not asking you, trust and I'll direct your path. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now then, that shouldn't be a problem for us, because, ladies and gentlemen, the basic element of faith is trust. The basic element of love is trust. You take that away, you can't have faith and you can't love somebody. There's no way without trust. God has proved himself trustworthy. Would we agree? Thank you, three Methodists. I appreciate you being at church this morning. I said God has proved himself trustworthy. Yes? Thank you very much. I just had to prime the pump a little bit and get you going this morning. That's okay, not a problem, but it is true. Now listen, you may think he's failed you, but he never has. You may have the idea in your mind that God is not always trustworthy, because after all, I trusted him with this and look what happened. You still had misplaced trust. You had placed your trust in God to do what you wanted, instead of to do what he thought was best. That doesn't always look right to us, does it? I trusted the Lord and I prayed and I asked him, and look what happened in my life. Did you think for a moment, maybe, just possibly, that what he really thought was best is what you didn't get? There's no problem with trusting God. If we look at it right and we think of it the correct way, trust in the Lord, and then there's a conditional part of this, with all your heart. See, we kind of trust God a little bit until, or we trust God some until, or we trust God, but if, see, we have a limited trust in God. As long as it works out, then I'm going to trust the Lord. If it doesn't come the way I want it, I'm not trusting him anymore. You got it backwards. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've got to be willing to say, whatever it is he designs, desires, and wills for my life, I'm willing to accept that. And I'm willing to trust that that is what's best. Sometimes that'll take you where you never intended to go. Sometimes that will allow something in your life that doesn't make any sense to you at all. Why? I have a pastor friend, Joe Esposito. About 3 months ago, he's a couple years younger than I am. He had an aneurysm in his brain that burst. And it's just wiped him out. Great church down in Long Beach down there. College, church, ministry, great family. Just a good guy. Got missionaries going out all over the world. Just a good man. I saw a picture of him yesterday with a trach in his throat. 3 months now, his hands are already starting to draw up. The best he can do is look at his family and maybe raise a little bit of an eyebrow. And the worst part is this aneurysm that burst, it affected the part of the brain that's his reasoning, thinking, and talking part of his brain. The part of the brain that helps to do the motor functions, your breath, your lungs, your heart. That's perfectly fine. He could live like that for years. He was trusting the Lord with all his heart. And now his family has to go stand beside his bed and look at someone who can't even respond to them in any way. Does that make sense to you? Okay, but let me ask you a question. Is it right? Why would God take a husband away from a father? A husband away from his wife, a father away from his children, a grandfather away from his grandchildren, a pastor away from his church, a president away from his college. Take all this stuff away from this man who wasn't doing anything with his life that wasn't right. Why would this be? Question. Wrong question. The point of it is this. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Even at times like that, you have to look at it and say, I don't know. That's in the hands of God. Which, by the way, is a lot easier for us to say, because we're not standing beside the bed of that loved one. We didn't spend our Christmas day in a hospital room with a man who could, all he could barely do was have a tear come out of the corner of his eye, and they accepted that as some kind of response from him. Frankly, the doctors say there's no medical hope for him whatsoever. It's gone. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that puts a different frame to it, doesn't it? But that isn't the issue. Listen now. If he's going to direct your path, you have to trust him that he knows what's in that road, in that path, along that path, and where that road is going. You have to trust him before you get there. That's a basic element of faith. That God knows, that God understands, that he'll somehow or another trust in the Lord with all your heart. Step two, lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, it's not wrong to think about things. It's not wrong to think about them. I wish people would do a little more thinking, especially those guys in Washington. I wish they'd do a lot more thinking about not only what they do, but what it will mean and the impact of that. Like these idiots that keep legalizing. Now, in Colorado, you can go to Colorado and smoke all the pot you want. Say, oh, no, it's only an ounce. Yeah, that's how it's working in Shasta County, too. I wish somebody would use their head. A woodpecker does. Think about it. Think about it, people. Look at me. I wish somebody would think of, it's not wrong to think about things, to consider what it is, to make decisions. Hey, it's not wrong to think about something. It's dead sure not wrong to pray about it. That's a smart thing to do. It is really wise to get counsel about a decision before you make it. Not one of those, here's what I'm going to do, what do you think, pastor things. Don't even waste my time. If you're going to do it that way, just go wave at me. It works out better that way than me go, okay, bye. I mean, do it, you know. I'm already done so-and-so, and this is what I'm doing. What do you think? Well, then it's already done. I can't help you with that part of it. I'm not trying to get counseling, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me. I'm glad to help you, but ladies and gentlemen, purposes are established by counsel. Established by counsel. Not establish the purpose, then get the counsel. Don't flip that around. But do that. That's wise. Listen now. Listen to me. Think about it. Pray about it. Get counsel about it. But when you're done, if the only reason you're about to do something is because it makes sense to you and that's what you want to do, then you're leaning to your own understanding. God can't direct a path like that. We want God to just make it miraculously appear. We want to get on the path. We want to go and say, okay, God, come on, catch up. That's not how it works. We want to do what we want to do, make our decisions, our choices, and do what we want with our lives, and somehow or another, God, do the miraculous spoofle dust thing, woo, and make it all turn out okay, and then blame him when it doesn't, when we lean to our own understanding to begin with. No, it's not wrong to use your mind. It's not wrong to think about things. It's not wrong to pray about it. It's dead sure smart to do that. It's wise to get counsel. It's good. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. It's wise to do that. It's be deliberate. Be careful. But lean not to your own understanding. In other words, if the last thing that holds you up on this decision you're about to make is, looks good to me, I think it'll be all right. If it's not right, I'll fix it down the road. Thank you, Mr. Fix It. And then we wonder why God's not in on this thing. Lean not to your own understanding. It means that's what holds you up. That's what you're depending on. That's what your support is. That's what your help is your little peanut finite mind. You're going to get yourself in big trouble. You're going to make choices that are not good. You're going to choose paths that you shouldn't choose. You're going to justify it and then get mad at God for it or blame somebody else for it instead when we lean to our own understanding. Three, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now listen, and in all thy ways, you acknowledge him. So you go from ways to paths by acknowledging God. But what does it mean to acknowledge him? It simply means this, that what I do and what I choose to do and what I'm setting out to do with my life right now acknowledges that the God of heaven would approve of this. That'll narrow a lot of things down. I don't think God would approve of it, but you know, everybody else is. Oh, that's great. So then everybody else is your God, not him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. If I'm going to choose something, why would I want to choose something I knew violated the Bible? That goes against his word. God already doesn't approve. You don't even have to ask him. He already said no. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It means now. Listen, now in my life, I'll do what I know he would honor him with my life. You're doing that this morning. You're in church. That honors God. He created the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. That honors him. I'm amazed at Christians who won't even go to church who want God to direct their life. My question is this, why? You won't even do the basic, simple things he asks you to do. Why would you want him to direct your life anyway? It comes back to that selfish principle, don't you think? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. It means now my life honors him and what he tells me to do. It means my decision, my whole purpose for even wanting God to direct my path is so it'll honor God in what I do. Yeah, I know you got to be humble and do the stuff and think, well, yeah, that's part of it. But how about this? How about, you know, Lord, if this is what you want, I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's all. I want to, every step I take on this way that I am going right now honestly honors God and acknowledges that he's the God of my life. Wouldn't you like it if more people who had fish bumper stickers on their car drove like Christians? Man was driving down the road, one of those wild, crazy drivers, tailgating people, zooming in and out of traffic, honking his horn at everybody that was driving too slow, shaking his fist, obscene gestures, cursing, swearing at everyone. A policeman finally pulls him over, gets him out of the car under gunpoint, puts him on the hood of the car, handcuffs him. And the man was saying, "What did I do? What did I do?" And the officer said, "You stole this car. I'm taking you to jail." He goes, "This is my car." He said, "Can't be. You got a fish bumper sticker on there. You didn't act like a Christian while you were driving. I figured you just stole this car." Wouldn't that be nice if people who really said they believed in God actually acknowledged him by how they lived and what they did instead of pulling a Miley Cyrus or one of these other people? Wouldn't that be nice? I can't control what they do. But I can tell you this, dear people, look at me. Wouldn't it be nice if what you and I did today, listen, and I left church this morning, go out and get in my car, drive down the road, go to my home, go to the day, go to my life, if everything I said, thought, and did actually acknowledged that there was a God in heaven who was my God watching over me and what I did and how I lived my life. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. I can't do that with the things I do. It's time to stop doing some stuff. It's time to change some things that I'm doing. I love it. I love meeting people from our church out in public. I wear camo and sneak up on you. You didn't know that, did you? I've seen folks at the grocery store saw me coming, do a 180, knock three 80-year-old women down to get in the aisle, get some stuff out of their basket that they knew wasn't supposed to be in there, because Pastor Johnson saw it. And I always think to myself, you know, God was in the store before I showed up. He saw you reach in there and pull that out and put it in your basket. I came over this lady one day. She was outside having a smoke. And I happened to be passing the business. And there she was. Pew, pulled it out. "Hi, Pastor." She looked like Pocahontas, man. She had a smoke signal going up over the back of her head. And the bad thing is she had just inhaled. "Hi, Pastor, how you doing?" She's trying to let the smoke out without me seeing it. It's going up over the back of her head. Now me, I just had to stand there and see how long she could hold that cigarette behind her back. So I was asking her all kinds, "How are the kids? How you doing?" And everything else. You can just see her going. I thought either the back of her shirt's going to catch on fire or that cigarette's going to burn down to the end of her fingers or something. Now look at me, people. Obviously, you shouldn't smoke. If you were supposed to smoke, God made your nose out of brick and put it on top of your head, okay? We understand that you shouldn't be doing that. But can I ask you a question? What does that got to do with me seeing it? That has nothing to do with it. The God of heaven watched what you watched on TV last night or looked at what you looked at on the internet. The God of heaven knows what goes through your mind and your heart and your life. He knows all of this. You see what I'm saying? Look at God's GPS is, I want to put them on the path that I want them to go, but they won't even acknowledge me in the way they're going now. So the key then, I guess, is this. Let's get my life in order, get on the way God wants me to go that acknowledges him by his word, and then the Bible says, then He'll direct your paths. And guess what? Every choice you make this year, every decision you decide, every direction you choose in your life will be directed by God's heavenly GPS. I follow that box in my car before, and it said, turn right, so and so. And I go, nah, that doesn't look right. I said, well, it's a machine. It's got to be right. And turn right and sit right in front of an empty field. And that's the last time I'm listening to this box when I know where I'm going. Every man knows where he's going. Doesn't he? That's right. We need a box to tell us where we're going. We know where we're going. We've never been there before. We still got an idea. Check the wind. Where's the sun? We all turn into Indians. Where's the sun? I'm Cherokee. I got good direction. Where's the sun? Yeah, there's north. That makes this over there and that over here. And south is that way. Yeah, I got to figure it out. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. You're out of your mind. Not with life, you don't do that. I don't have time to waste, and neither do you. And we cannot get on the wrong path and find out this wasn't good. Because guess what? You take others with you on that path. And when you go down the wrong path, others will follow you in so doing. And the last thing you want to do is lead a little child down the wrong path and get to the end of it and go, oh, well, and you turn around and they won't. Or you lead a friend down the wrong path and you decide to change and they won't do it. And they stay on the very path that you chose, and it's your responsibility. Don't you understand it's bigger than just where I'm going and what I'm doing? Now listen, he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And God's heavenly GPS will get you there, my friend. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, may I ask you this most important question, first of all. When the first step is trusting in the Lord with all your heart,